As Jesus and his students were making their way to the Garden Grove just outside Jerusalem, the taste of Passover was still lingering on their lips and its story was still fresh on their minds. And Jesus took the moment to remind them that God still prepares his people in advance for things that only he sees coming. He knows what awaits them there in the garden, and he knows that their lives will soon be forever altered. So Jesus slows down his walk and he points to one of the many vines that's located there that dot the local landscape. And he gives them and he gives us a this is that kind of conversation. He says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. You are the branches. Remain in me. He says, remain. He says, stay. He says, abide. It is the most important thing that a branch can do. And so when we become sick, Jesus says, remain in me. When we get downsized, Jesus says, remain in me. When we get waitlisted, when we don't make the team, when we get divorced, when we are rejected, Jesus says, I want you to remain in me. And when things change in our life, he says, remain, stay with me now. When we get depressed, when we feel alone, he says, remain in me. And even when things are going well, when we get the promotion and when our 401k is growing, when the sun is shining and when daddy is rich and when mama is pretty, Jesus still says, hey, I want you to remain in me. Stay connected, because it's the most important thing a vine or a branch can do. And you know, we get this, we understand it, because we all desire connection. We need to connect. We need to produce. We instinctively want to be known and to know. We intuitively desire to show something for our lives. But the problem is, especially during times of transition and change, it is so easy for us to connect ourselves to the wrong vine. You see, when Jesus introduced the vine and branches metaphor to his disciples in John 15, he began by saying, I am the true vine. And by saying that, he is also trying to get across the point, there are false vines out there. The word true can be translated also as real. And again, it indicates the presence of vines that are not real. You see, there are imitation vines that promise to give us what we need to grow and what we need to be able to mature, but they don't really. Maybe you've been connected to some of these vines in the past. Maybe you're connected to some of these now. One popular imitation vine is the romance vine. You connect with that special someone, you're ride or die, and subconsciously, or maybe even consciously, you think to yourself, this person is going to be my strength, and this person is going to be my true north. This is the one I've been missing all my life. I know that they will meet all my needs, and so you look into their eyes, and you say, you're the meaning in my life. You're the inspiration. And before she realizes that you're quoting lyrics from Chicago, you end it with Jerry Maguire going, and you complete me. But here's the deal. Your boo was never meant to be your vine. And when you put that type of pressure on them, you will inevitably be let down. You feel rejected. And there's nothing more depleting for a soul than feeling rejected by the person that we have turned into a vine. You see, when you connect with a significant other as your vine, you are essentially saying to them, I need you to be Jesus for me. I need you to do for me what only Jesus can do. And look, your soulmate may be great and all, but they cannot live up to that kind of expectation. And neither can the political vine. People look around and they feel frustrated and angry about the way things are in this world, and they desperately want things to be different. And they think the political approach will produce something better. And as long as their party of choice is in charge, things are actually pretty good. But there's a reason that Jesus refused to allow himself to be made king of a worldly kingdom. He didn't run for president and turn his disciples into senators and representatives, even though a lot of people would have applauded him during that time. He didn't do these things because the political vine doesn't work. It doesn't work because it seeks to produce change through power and to legislate a whole different kind of fruit. Another imitation vine is the me vine, as in the me, myself, and I vine. After trying all the other imitation vines, you just recognize that none of them will be able to fulfill you the way that you need to be fulfilled, so that only you can deliver what you're searching for. So you decide that you're really the only one that you can count on. And I don't know, maybe you're obsessed with self-help and personal growth. Maybe you attend all the conferences and you listen to all the latest podcasts. And that's really good and all, and I hope that you're getting your money's worth, but if your hope is in yourself, you are always going to be disappointed. And look, there are plenty of other imitation vines out there. Other things that you can connect to, like success or wealth or entertainment or pleasure. Some of you might even have tried to connect to that vine that's very religious in nature. But here's the thing about imitation vines. They can only produce imitation fruit. An imitation fruit may look good from a distance, but on a closer inspection, you realize that it's fake. Speaking of that, did any of you have grandparents that kept a fake bowl of fruit in the house? Yeah, okay, you understand. Some of you really understand where I'm going now, and others of you are like, that is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. I don't think we do it that much today, just have random bowls of fake fruit on the table. But back in the day, this was a big deal. Most grandmothers had a bowl of fake fruit that they kept on the kitchen table or on a shelf. And you would go in and be like, oh man, I'd love to have a banana. I'd like to maybe, I'm feeling an apple right now. But then when you walk and you get close to the bowl, close enough to examine the fruit, it wasn't real. Yeah, it wasn't real. And I wonder, why did our nanas do that to us? Right? Why did they do that to us, where they put a fake bowl of fruit out there just to tease you, like, I know you'd like the real thing, but sorry, not in this house. No, sir. Not before dinner time. We wonder why our nanas did that, but I also wonder why we do it. You know, instead of being someone that's connected to the true vine, what we oftentimes do is just opt to be a stick with some fake leaves and fruit on it. We settle for this. I mean, from a distance, no one can tell. From a distance, we all look pretty good. I mean, some of you, like myself, I mean, you look better today than you have dressed and looked in months. And as long as you don't let anyone get too close, as long as you don't let anyone come and inspect what it is that is actually growing there in your life, you look impressive, but none of it's real. Not too long ago, people began using a phrase that reflects this dynamic. They said, let's do it for the gram, for the Instagram. You see, if you're performing an activity or visiting a location or there's this scenery that you really want to get a certain shot of, then you're going to post it to your socials, and you're doing something just to be able to get that picture out there, just so that people think that that's really what your family looks like, that they really are that happy, and that you really are that pretty, and that life really is that great, and that money is not an option, and that you have no cares in the world. It could be two people on a date, and they're dealing with a lot of conflict, a lot of problems. But they have to keep up appearances, so they snap a selfie. They get a photo posing with the moonlight in the background. It looks like love, but it's not the love of Christ that they have in their life. You know, my mom calls sticks with fake leaves and fruit artificial. Or artificial. In fact, here, let me just lay my stick. Lay my stick here. Growing up, We got a lot of these that were around our house. And I would say, Mom, why do we have fake flowers? And she said, we don't have fake flowers. We have artificial flowers. We were bougie before there was bougie. Oh, well, we don't have fake flowers. We have artificial flowers. I mean, it sounds better, right? I mean, you don't have fake fruit in your life, do you? No. You just have artificial fruit. That's what you have. You have this growth that's there in your life. Man, it looks so good from a distance. And if anybody questions and if anybody says anything, you're like, oh no. It's not fake. It's just artificial. Because artificial is close to the real thing, right? I mean, it's similar. Your life looks similar to the love, joy, and peace that God brings, but okay, maybe it's a little artificial, but it's similar. But let's get real. Who wants to really settle for similar? How many of you baby boomers and Gen Xers had a Coke shirt in the 80s? How many of you guys? Let's go ahead. Be honest with us. Let's get those hands up. How many of you? There it is. And then let me see a show of hands. How many of you had the knockoff brand? Okay. Yeah, I know, Tessa. I'm like, I was with you. And you could tell which one was real and not because they had the Coca-Cola emblem there on the collar. How many of you had a Swatch watch? Anybody have a Swatch watch? The watch that made Yvonne Lindell smile. I really wish he wouldn't have done that. I wish he would have had a different watch. I really do. That's not the best smile there for Yvonne. But hey, the Swatch watches were a big deal. But how many of you just got the Swatch watch guard and put it on a Timex? Yeah, right? Because you couldn't, maybe your parents couldn't afford to get you another watch, or they were like, you've already got a watch that works. You don't need another watch. And so you ended up with a Swatch watch guard to put on your Timex, and you just hope that nobody looked close to find out that you had something that wasn't fake. It was just artificial. Or how about you millennials and Gen Zs? How many of you had an American Girl doll? We got any American Girl doll people out there? Yeah, all right. Seeing the hands go up now. Or how many just had her best friend from Canada? Did y'all have, any of you have that? Yeah. I know you wanted the American Girl doll, but we had those friends to our north, and they looked similar. You know, there are a lot of off-brands in this world. In fact, I found some pictures online. I don't know if I would really like to buy some of these things, but I thought I would share them with you. Go to this next shot. You could get some hikey slides, okay? And while you're wearing your slides, you can eat some Ditos, and then you can play They're not fake. They're just artificial. They're similar. They're close. Some of you use Dove soap, right? Others of you might use Dave soap. I don't know. I think that's that's the manly version of Dove. I think that's what it is. I'm not for sure, right? It's close. It's similar, kind of like this. Do you want Pepsi or Poopsie? I don't think that translated into the language the way that they thought it was going to, but it's close. Now, here's something that I had growing up. Anybody have a Miami Vice t-shirt? Or did you have the Miami Mice t-shirt? Yes, I did. It was close. It wasn't fake. It was just artificial. It wasn't real. You know, we don't like to settle for artificial or fake in other areas of our lives. So why do we settle and accept a stick with some fake leaves and fruit when it comes to what matters most? See, imitation vines, connecting with an imitation vine, only brings imitation fruit. Fake fruit promises to bring authentic joy, but really it only brings momentary pleasure. That fake fruit promises to bring true purpose, but I just end up with temporary distraction. And then there's that fake fruit that says, this is going to give you peace if you take this, if you do this, but it only brings a brief diversion. Fake fruit promises to bring genuine success, but it really only ends up with shallow victories. You keep connecting with an imitation vine, you're only going to get imitation fruit. You didn't like it in your shirts or your watch. You didn't want it in your toys. Why do you want it with your soul? In 2020, there was a news story, maybe you saw this, about a woman who was crushed to learn that the plant that she had watered for 2 years was fake. That was not my mother. All right? This lady was in California. Here is a quote from her. Callie Wilkes said, I was so proud of this plant. It was full, beautiful, beautiful coloring, just an overall perfect plant. I had a watering plan for it. And if someone else tried to water my succulent, I would get so defensive because I just wanted to take such good care of it. I absolutely love that plant. You know how she discovered the truth? One day she decided to repot her plant into a larger container, and she found out, shock, it was fake. I mean artificial. Wilkes went on to say, I put so much love into this plant. I washed its leaves. She said, I tried my hardest to keep it looking its best, and it's completely plastic. She said, how did I not know this? And that is an outstanding question. How did she not know? But I have a couple of others. First, why did she tell a reporter about this? I mean, that's the real question, right? I mean, if somebody came and asked me and said, hey, Chris, did you know that your mom has been watering fake flowers? I'm like, fake news, buddy. No, that's not happening. We're not doing that. And when you water a fake plant, where does the water go? I mean, I know that succulents don't take as much as beauties like this, but I mean, come on. And guys, she washed the leaves. She touched them. And yet it was fake the whole time. Well, since then, she's gotten rid of the fake plant. She's replaced it with several real succulents. I mean, just imagine how foolish you would feel if you were to spend time, years even, caring for a fake plant because you thought that it was real. I mean, imagine giving and spending years of your time and energy to something that would never produce anything that was real. Imagine that. Or maybe you don't have to imagine it this morning. Jesus said, I am the true vine. You know, the only chance that a stick ever has of growing real fruit is for the gardener to graft it somehow into the vine. So when a gardener connects a branch to the vine, he goes and he strips it of everything that is there on the outside. He gets rid of all the twigs and all the leaves and anything that truly is not real. And he then goes over to this vine and he does something that is very strange. He will actually cut the vine. Did you know that? He will cut the vine, and then after he cuts the vine, he will then take what is now just a stick. There's nothing else there. It is just a stick. And so he will cut that vine, and then within it, there at the place where he had cut it, he will put that stick. Do you know what that process is called, by the way? is called bleeding, where the gardener will take the stick and put it where the vine is bleeding so that the nutrients of the vine can cover the stick. You see, the vine bleeds, and because the vine bleeds, the stick is able to take in the nutrients and it becomes grafted to the vine. You see where I'm going this Easter, right? Jesus bled so that sticks can become branches who bear fruit. The gardener connects us to the healing, life-giving nutrients of the true vine, and new life flows to the branch. And then our job is to just stay connected. And I know it's easier said than done, especially when there's been times of transition and change in your life. That night in the garden when the soldiers came, we're told that Jesus' disciples deserted him and fled. Some left Jerusalem altogether and began a journey back home. Others hid in the homes of friends. There was a couple that followed the action from a distance, because connection can be a very fickle friend. When you walk into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday with everyone shouting praise, or when you're enjoying Passover, connection is easy. But when the soldiers come, and when the bills are late, and when your friends don't share your values, and when things at home are falling apart, and when you're lonely, and when you're depressed, and when you're sick, and when you doubt the goodness of God, and when you question His will, what keeps you connected then? What keeps you connected? It's not just a good question, it's the question. Why should you, me, or anyone stay connected to Jesus? There's a lot of people that are wondering that today. Especially when there are so many imitation vines around us that promise fulfillment. Well, the best way I know to answer this is to just say, why did his disciples stay connected? You say, but wait, Chris, you just said that the disciples fled. They left. They went home. They hid. That's right, I did. But when we fast forward a few days, this is what we read in Scripture. The apostles returned to Jerusalem. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. The writer there in Acts wanted you to know the names of those who came back and how they were joined by the women and by Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Understand what's happening here. Before we read that Jesus' disciples deserted him and fled. And they did that. They did that before. Before when he was a carpenter. Before when he was a really good teacher. Before when he was a revolutionary. Before when he was a rabbi. Before when he was arrested and bloodied and crucified and buried. But that same writer there in Acts says that after he had suffered, he presented himself alive to them. Why did the disciples stay connected? Because his resurrection changed everything. You see, Jesus' resurrection was proof that he was the things that he had been saying he was. He was the living water, and he was the good shepherd. He was the true vine. It was proof that he was the way, the truth, and the life. You see, all during that they had time together, he tried to help his followers experience him in terms that they could understand, in terms that they could relate to, because he knew that they were made to see one thing in terms of another. And so he talked about water and bread and sheep and shepherds. He talked about vines and branches. And he talked in these terms in order to point them to the ultimate truth, that God was living and God was working in their midst. But metaphors, even the best ones, are only stand-ins for the real thing. Because after all, how could the disciples be sure that what Jesus was saying was accurate? Could they really be sure that he was the true vine that would be bearing fruit in them? And was God really alive? Was God really active? Was Jesus really the Messiah? I mean, there had been so many fake ones. But his resurrection announced that Jesus was not a metaphor at all. He was not an imitation. He wasn't artificial. He wasn't fake. Jesus wasn't like God. The resurrection said Jesus was and is God. And so the disciples could throw away all the imitation vines. And because of Jesus' resurrection, so can you. You don't have to water fake plants. You don't have to search for life in the imitation vines of romance or politics or materialism or entertainment or religion or pleasure or self or whatever other succulent that you choose. You can experience real life with God because the one who created you longs to sustain you. And he wants to grow his fruit in your life. How do I know this to be true? Because the one who told his students, "I am the vine," presented himself alive to them. You see, the resurrection, it enables connection. Jesus was God expressing himself. It was God expressing himself in a way that we could grasp, in a way that we could understand. I was talking with a college student not too long ago, and in our conversation, she looked at me and she said, I don't know if anybody really knows what God wants these days. Because everybody has an opinion. And you know that to be true as well, right? That you ask 100 people, you'll get 100 different answers as to what God wants and to what God's will is. And she said, I just really don't think we can know exactly what it is that God wants. And I told her, I said, can I push back on that just for a minute? I said, I think we can know what God wants for our lives. Because he showed us in the person of Jesus. He showed us what was real. He showed us what was true. And he did that so that we could throw away the fake, so that we could get rid of the artificial, the imitations that are there in our life. He did that so that our name could be added to the list of the men and women who for centuries have connected to Jesus. And so when we come here on days like today, to be able to celebrate the living, true vine, we do so because we recognize, because of the resurrection, everything has changed. And I no longer have to be a stick that is bearing some kind of fake and imitation fruit. I don't have to pretend that there is life within me. Instead, I can get rid of it. And I can grab on to what is truly real. Because of the resurrection, there is life. And that's why we are here today. And so, friends and family, if you are the person that has been grabbing on to imitation vines, and if you're the person that has been looking good from a distance and had all of that fake fruit on there just to be able to get by, but it's really not the love, joy, and peace that God offers, if you're one that has just been trying to water what is not real, then I want you this morning to hear me when I say that God prepares you in advance for things that only he sees coming. And Jesus knew that his resurrection was just around the bend. And so walking through the garden, he stops at the vine and he says, I want you to stay connected to me because I am the true living vine. And I know it's going to get dark. And I know there's going to be reasons for you to run. And I know there's going to be reasons for you to doubt, but if you will stay connected to me, fruit will come to you. If you'd like that fruit today, we'd love for you to be connected to the vine, to be baptized into Christ because of your belief that Jesus is the true living Savior of the world. You do that, and you will add your name to the list of men and women who for centuries have said, I'm going to be the branch. Lord, you are going to be the vine. Your life will never be the same. It will be real, and it will be alive. So, Father, we say thank you this morning for the opportunity to be reminded of the greater redemptive story, to see this in terms of that. Thank you for revealing yourself to us in a way that we could better understand, a way that we could be able to relate. So, Father, my prayer is that for all of us here this morning, for those who are watching online, that we would want nothing else but to be connected to you and to allow you to bear fruit through us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the vine. Thank you for the resurrection that changed everything. It's in his name that we pray and say together, amen. Friends, we're going to stand and rejoice and give praise to God. If you need to come before this body for any reason, we encourage you to do so. And if you'd like to have a private time of prayer, we have a prayer room that's located in our lobby. You're welcome to go there. Let us stand together, all branches connected to the vine.